Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Sharon. Welcome to the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Today, everybody, thank you so much for joining me today, right here on this platform, the Marketing Pulpit. We're always delighted when you decide to join us because we know you really could be doing something else. You really, really could, but you decide to join us here. So thank you so much. And for those who may be new to the show, again, we just want to say welcome. We want to just welcome you to the show and to also let you know that if you have a question or comment, feel free to dial in and I'll give you that number in just a minute. But for those who have been with me since day one and for those of you who have been with me for a long time, I just want you to know how much we appreciate you and I just love, love, love you for your encouragement, your support. And I say that all the time and it's because I really do mean it. So thank you so much for joining us. Hey, we got another nice show lined up for you today. And if you have a question or if you have comments, you can actually dial in because this show is live. 215-383-3872. Just dial 215-383-3872. That will put you in the queue for questions. And just push option 1. And we'll be happy to answer your questions or just listen to your comments. So thank you so much. And, you know, I'm always delighted to have my co-host, Doc Ira Lake of Emtasic Family Services. Doctor, how are you today?
I'm doing just great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm just still, you know, I was looking at the fact that this is the last show in this month. But not only is it the last show, but guess what? This is the last day in this month. The 28th, one of our shortest months. How about that? I mean, it's one of our shortest months. So we hope to end this month with a nice show. But, you know, before we dive in, I just want to ask the question, how many of you are aware of some things that happened today? Today, on this day, February 28th in Black History. Quite a bit actually happened on this day in Black history. I'm just going to go through a few of them. I'm not going to go through a lot of them, just a few of them. But I thought they were kind of interesting. And one, definitely interesting, Doctor. On this day in 1859, the legislature in Arkansas required that free blacks choose between exile or enslavement. What a choice. And also on this day in 1932, the automatic gear shift was invented by Richard Spikes. Richard Spikes. And, you know, and I'm just going to say that there are so many things that have been invented by blacks that you just don't know about. You really don't hear a lot about them. And so we just kind of we just want to share with you a few things that happened on this day, February the 28th. Listen, another thing that happened on this day, February 28th, and some people may or may not remember this, but in 1984. Eight Grammys were won by this person. Eight Grammys were won by Michael Jackson. And that included his record and album of the year for his album Thriller.
Thriller, yeah.
Eight. He won eight Grammys on this day in 1984. Wow. That's amazing. The other thing on this day, and this is my last one, on this day in 1990, Philip Imoguley was awarded the Gordon Bell Prize. And he was awarded that prize because at the time, what was considered one of the most difficult problems in computing, it was one of the 20 most difficult problems in the computing field. He actually solved the problem, and the Gordon Bell Prize was awarded to him and presented by the Association for Computing Machinery. And I think that's just amazing, and I just wanted to share a little bit about some things that were done on this day. And, you know, we are celebrating. This month is celebrating Black History. And, you know, all through the years, there may be some moments that you remember, or there are some things that may have stood out in your mind, or some things that you are appreciative for. And for those who work so hard for our freedom, I know I'm appreciative for a lot of things. And, you know, Doctor, to be honest with you, when I was coming up, in my family, my mom and dad talked a lot about, you know, the progress of minorities and to be thankful for the things that they've done for us. But to be honest with you, in school, in some of the schools I went to, not my elementary schools, but like my high school, you didn't hear really anything about Black history and the things that people had done in the past and the trendsetters, and you just didn't really hear about it. It really wasn't until I went to college and I took an elective and I decided to take courses in Black history. And my mind was blown. I was just blown away. I really, really was. And to this day, I remember the feelings that I had upon learning the things that people went through simply because they wanted to be free. I was brought to tears. I really was. I was brought to tears. And even as I think about it now, I have to admit, I do. I still get very emotional about it because I realize that I'm able to do a lot of things today because of the blood, the sweat that some people did, their lives were taken, simply so that I could go to school with people of different races, so that I could work, so that I could have equality. You know, people don't choose the color of their skin. They don't. And I think the message that so many people were trying to convey was, we're all here. We may not be here by choice, but we're all here. And the God of this universe, the creator of this universe, created diversity because it was beautiful, and that we all were placed here to love and care for each other and to make this place a better planet, a better world, not just for ourselves, but for our children, our grandchildren, and those who will come after us. So I am forever thankful and forever grateful. And I know my co-host is probably wondering, what in the world? where did that come from? But, Doctor, I just had to say that today because that's what I feel. And I'd love to hear from you, too, your thoughts on what this experience, this Black History experience, has meant to you and means to you today. Mind sharing with our listeners?
I am so proud of my heritage, and there was a time when being Black was not something you were proud of because you were made to believe that we were less than. But African American history is actually U.S. history. It's our history. We're just as biggest contributors in this country as anybody else, if not more. And I know that so many things have been given to society by our community, our culture, and it goes unrecognized, but just because it's not recognized or fully appreciated does not lessen its value. The value is placed by the person who understands where it comes from and appreciates what was done so that they can have something better.
Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you something. In fact, you know what? I just as talking about this right now, I am going to, by the grace, I am going to do a show. I really am. In fact, it probably will be a series. Because I really do believe that so many people have made a difference in this world, but the experience, the black experience in America, it is a beautiful, it's bittersweet, actually. But for people to have progressed through so much, and not just blacks, but there are other cultures, too, that have endured so much. And you know what? I think I am going to work on a series for that. But, you know, there was something on PBS. It came on last night. I don't know if you all had an opportunity to see the PBS special. Oh, my goodness. Ira, let me tell you, I looked at some of the scenery, and I've seen parts of Africa, but, you know, before. But, Ira, it was a beautiful, beautiful place, just a beautiful place. And I want you to speak to this because, you know, when I saw, not just then, but like I said, I took the classes before, but to see the intelligence, to see the artistic expertise, to see the land and the geographical beauty, to see all of that where our ancestors lived, I'm telling you, it was just simply beautiful. Who would want to leave a place like that? Of course, not every place. It's beautiful, but it's a beautiful, there are beautiful places on that continent. And the riches, the gold, the sapphires, all the gems, all the beauty that came from that country, I'm saying, wow, it was just mind-blowing to see the way they put it together. I thought it was just beautifully done. It was just very, very nicely done. So I encourage anybody to go back and see that. But I'm telling you, Dr. Lake, that is a legacy. It's just beautiful.
So Sharon, let me share this with the listeners.
Yes, sir.
Let me share this with the listeners. People don't realize that a minimum of two great countries that exist today grew out of the resources of Africa. England and the United States became world powers, and their economic power became world economic on the backs of the resources of Africa, which
Absolutely.
The greatest of resources are the people themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're absolutely correct about that. And if you read the history, and if people are completely honest when it comes to the history, the civilizations, not just the civilizations, but like as you speak of, other cultures, other countries are what they are today because of what was taken, what was used, resources that were in Africa. And when I learned that years ago, it made me appreciate the heritage more than I did before. And I think it's something that needs to be talked about over and over. It needs to be passed down to children, their heritage. All children should know their heritage and be familiar with where they come from, where they've been, where they're going, where we are now. So I just had to say that because I'm just, when I saw that, it was just, It was masterful. I thought it was very nice. That's what I want to say. It was very nice. So if you missed it, you just go to PBS. There probably is an area where you can go back and possibly view that, but it was simply beautifully done. So with that, I want to say to all those who are celebrating Black History this month, and as Dr. Martin Luther King said, you know, he wanted his children to be able to walk alongside people of different races and different cultures and not be judged by the color of their skin. And that, you know, you can't really say it any more powerfully than that. So with that, as you know, we have been in this tiny little series, reading this book that my mom introduced to me years ago. And I've told you all several times I didn't really want to read the book. I'm an avid reader, by the way, Dr. Lake, and I know you are too, because you do workshops, you do all kind of seminars. In fact, you just completed a workshop somewhere, didn't you? I saw on your Facebook page that you did a workshop. It was nice what I saw. Very nice.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that workshop. It was very nice. Yep. And we're planning to have you come to our area too this year. So tell us about your workshop.
It was a 6-part series, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, 3 weekends, where we did things on reconciliation and forgiveness. And we used Jacob and Esau as the central characters to illustrate what forgiveness is and what reconciliation is. And it was to help a church that had been fractured, that had been splintered, and to show them how to begin healing again. And it was powerful.
Well, it looked like it was. I mean, it looked like you all had a really nice time there. I mean, I saw the, looks like somebody was trying to carry a load, and I was like, ooh, I would have loved to have been there to see what that was all about. But it looked really nice. And, you know, Dr. Lake does workshops and seminars, and if you'd like for him to come and do a workshop or a seminar for you, I'm sure he'd be more than happy to. Dr. Lake, why don't you give him your contact information?
You can always reach me directly at 714-376-8643.
There you have it, everybody. And listen, when we come back, we're going to go ahead and use the last minutes of this show to dive right into this book that my mother shared with me. And when we come back, I'll tell you what the name of that book is and why I didn't read it right here on the Marketing Pulpit along with my co-host, Dr. Ira Lake.
Gatewood Marketing is a company that can take you from your small beginnings to your moderate business operation on into websites and marketing, everything. So I thank the Lord for Robert and Gatewood Marketing.
You are listening to the Marketing Pulpit, me, Sharon, and my co-host, Dr. Ira Lake. And we are delighted that you are here, that you have decided to join us. Well, my mother shared with me this book, and because of the title, I didn't want to read it because I thought it was silly. I really did. So she asked me again, babe, have you read that book? Nope, I haven't, but I will, Mom, I promise I will. So, you know, usually when your mother asks you something twice, she really wants you to do it. So I went ahead and read the book, and the name of this book is a number one bestseller. It's Who Moves My Cheese by Spencer Johnson, and some of you may have heard of it, but we are actually reading excerpts from this book. And believe it or not, it's not a long book. It's a short book, and we're actually almost done with this book. I only have a few more pages to go. So, Dr. Lake, I think I'm just going to dive right in, and then we're going to get your takeaway on some of the thoughts of this when we're done. But as you know, Doctor, we left off, and one of the mice was trying to find new cheese. Oh, and if you're new to the show and you want to know what happened before this scene, just go to our archives, www.markandpulpit.com. And listen to the archives of our shows. But I'm just going to give you a brief summary of where we are. Well, Tim and Har, two little mice-like characters, and they know two other little human-like characters called Stiff and Scurry. Well, Kim and Hoff, human-like little beings. They're little human-like beings, and they're trying to find new cheese. They lost cheese. They found cheese. And Haw is learning some very valuable lessons as a result of his search for cheese. And cheese represents in this book, it represents anything that you may want, whether it's a relationship, money, a job. It could be leadership role or managerial positions. It could be anything that you want. And cheese represents that. It could be love. It could be anything that you find precious and home dear and you want it. Well, this is the last lesson that he learned when we ended the show on last week. Noticing small changes early helps you adapt to the bigger changes that are to come. That's the last lesson that he learned when we finished reading on last week. So now I'm going to begin where we ended. He actually found some new cheese. He went down this corridor, found some new cheese in Cheese Station N. And when he got into the cheese station, guess who was there? That's right. He saw his old friends, Sniff and Scurry. Well, Sniff and Scurry welcomed him into the new cheese station. And Carl realized that the situation had changed and that the cheese had been moved. They changed and they moved with the cheese. So he noticed with Sniff and Scurry, they didn't just wait on things to happen. They moved along with the changes. So here we go. Carl realized that Sniff and Scurry didn't overanalyze or overcomplicate things. When the situation changed and the cheese had been moved, they changed and moved with the cheese. He would remember that. Haw had also used his wonderful brain to do what little people do better than mice. He envisioned himself in realistic detail, finding something better, much better. He reflected on the mistakes he had made in the past and used them to plan for his future. He knew that you could learn to deal with change. You could be more aware of the need to keep things simple, be flexible, and move quickly. You did not need to overcomplicate matters or confuse yourself with fearful beliefs. You could notice when the little changes began so that you would be better prepared for the big change. He knew he needed to adapt faster, for if you do not adapt in time, you might as well not adapt at all. He had to admit that the biggest inhibitor to change lies within yourself and that nothing gets better until you change. Perhaps most importantly, he realized that there is always new cheese out there whether you recognize it at that time or not, and that you are rewarded with it when you go past your fear and enjoy the adventure. He knew some fear should be respected, as it can keep you out of real danger, but he realized most of his fears were irrational and had kept him from changing when he needed to. He didn't like it at the time, but he knew that the change had turned out to be a blessing in disguise, as it led him to find better cheese. He had even found a better part of himself. As Hall recalled what he had learned, he thought about his friend, Tim. He wondered if Tim had read any of the sayings Haw had written on the wall at Cheese Station C and throughout the maze. Had Tim ever decided to let go and move on? Had he ever entered the maze and discovered what could make his life better? Or was Tim still hemmed because he would not change? Haw thought about going back again to Cheese Station C, assuming that Haw could find his way back there. If he found him, he thought he might be able to show him how to get out of his predicament. But Har realized that he had already tried to get his friend to change. Him had to find his own way before his comfort and past his fear. He had to find his own way beyond his comfort and past his fear. No one else could do it for him or talk him into it. He somehow had to see the advantage of changing himself. Paul knew he had left a trail for him and that he could find his way if he could just read the handwriting on the wall. He went over and wrote down a summary of what he had learned on the largest wall of cheese station, and he drew a large piece of cheese around all the insights he had become aware of and smiled as he looked at what he had learned. 1. Change happens. They keep moving the cheese. 2. Anticipate change. Get ready for the cheese to move. 3. Monitor change. Smell the cheese often so you know when it is getting old. 4. Adapt to change quickly. The quicker you let go of old cheese, the sooner you can enjoy new cheese. 5. Change with the cheese. Change. 6. Enjoy change. Savor the adventure and enjoy the taste of new cheese. Lastly, be ready to change quickly and enjoy it again and again. They keep moving the cheese.
Autumn turns to winter, and then winter turns to spring. It's not just seasons, you know, it goes for everything.
Clouds can turn to rain, and then it just might snow. You gotta take a lesson from Mother Nature, and if you do, you'll know.
Har realized how far he had come since he had been with him in Cheese Station C. But, it would be easy for him to slip back if he got too comfortable. So each day he inspected Cheese Station N to see what the condition of his cheese was. He was going to do whatever he could to avoid being surprised by unexpected change. While Har still had a great supply of cheese, he also went out in May and new areas to stay in touch with what was happening around him. He knew it was safer to be aware of his real choices than to isolate himself in his comfort zone. Then, Har heard what he thought was the sound of movement out of the maze. As the noise grew louder, he realized that someone was coming. Could it be that him was arriving? Was he about to turn the corner? Har said a little prayer and hoped, as he had many times before, that maybe at last his friend was finally able to move with the cheese and enjoy it. Is this the end, or is it a new beginning?
And we're going to stop right there. Dr. Lake, what's your takeaway on where we are right now?
I know one thing. Whether we want to like it or not, change is inevitable. So either get with it or get left behind.
I love it. I love it. And you heard it right here. Dr. Ira Lake, get with it or get left behind. Listen, if change has happened in your life, you've lost something loved, you've lost a relationship, something you love dearly, if you lost a job, if you're trying to figure it out, you can get help. There is help out there, and Dr. Lake is there to help you through it. Dr. Lake, tell us one more time, how can we get in touch with you if we want to talk about change in our life?
First, you can go to my website at imtasik.org, or you can reach me at 714-376-8643.
Listen, we're so delighted you decided to join us, and join us next week where we will continue the saga Cool 5G. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for joining me, Sharon, and my co-host, Dr. Ira Lake. Have a wonderful day.